choose yourself. So reject the tyranny of picked, choose yourself. No one's going to make it happen for you. Yes, people will help you and collaborating with people is great and people can help you. But like really, it's you that makes things happen. And I've learned that so much. I really thought, oh, this person will be the ticket to this or if I get that job, then everything will happen. But really, it's you driving everything forward, which is good when you can accept that because then you're in control. So I'm always like, if I want to do something, I need to create ways for that to happen. Or what do other people who do that look like? What do they do? I'm going to start doing that. So, you know, yeah, choose yourself.
Do you love your life as a small business owner? Let's be real, sometimes we just don't. It's my hope that this, the My Daily Business podcast, helps you regain a little of that lost love through practical, actionable tips, tools, and tactics, interviews with creative and curious small business owners, and in-depth coaching episodes with me, your host, Fiona Kalacki. With more than 20 years experience in marketing, brand, content, and systems, and having now helped thousands of small business owners, I know what it takes to build a business that you can be proud of and that actually aligns with your values, your beliefs, and your hopes for the future. So much of our daily life is spent working on and in the businesses and the brands that we are creating. And so it makes sense to actually love what you do. So let's get into this podcast and help you figure out how to love your business and your life on the daily. Hello and welcome to episode 554 of the My Daily Business podcast. Today, it's an interview episode, and I have to say, hand on heart, after 250 plus interviews, this has to be one of my all-time favorites. It is with just the loveliest person, and I have listened to this a couple of times now, and I think I'm going to listen again because I just get so much from it. And our guest is so genuine, so down to earth, and unbelievably giving in her information and giving behind the scenes intel that a lot of people gatekeep, to be honest. So before we get stuck into that, if you would like to really work on what 2026 can look like for your business, whether from an AI standpoint and system setup, or from more of a personal mindset and kind of confidence and really putting yourself and your personal brand out there, then check out our one-on-one coaching packages. You can find them at mydailybusiness.com/shop. We are booking people in from the end of October onwards. And if you're listening to this at some point in the future, you can always just go to mydailybusiness.com/shop and see what our coaching packages are like, as well as courses, books, and everything else there to help you with your business. And before we get stuck into today's interview, I want to acknowledge the traditional owners and custodians of these beautiful lands on which I run all of my one-on-one coaching and all sorts of other things. And for me, that is the Wurrung and Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And I pay my respects to their elders, past and present, and acknowledge that sovereignty has never been ceded. All right, let's get into today's interview episode. I am so excited to be finally publishing this episode. I did do this interview with our guest a couple of months ago now, and it has been in the bank waiting for the right time to put it out, which is now. And so today I am talking to the absolutely amazing Lucy Lumen. Lucy is the most incredible creative, from photography to model to content creator to YouTuber to just innovator. In today's chat, we talk about how did she get into all these different creative lines of work? What does she call herself? And how has she kept kind of moving in line with what her lifestyle needs are and what her audience is looking for? She has cultivated a beautiful community of photographers, artists, and other creatives out there. And she just shares her learnings in such a genuine, considerate, and creative way that you can't help but feel like you know her and that you want to be friends with her. Lucy and I connected years ago, literally when I started this podcast. She sent me a DM all about YouTube, and she was asking if I would be doing any particular episodes on YouTube. And I always remember that DM because I meant to get back to her quicker than I did. But also, it stayed in my mind of like, oh, I should be talking about YouTube. I should get on YouTube myself. And hello, I didn't do that, did I? However, things are changing. And I have to say that Lucy is such an encourager and cheerleader there. But I have watched her build her career and build her community. And she does it with just such a genuine way that I really feel like it will only continue to grow and expand as you see this divide between people who are not being authentic online and people who really are, like Lucy. And today we talk about everything from her Substack, how that started, what is Substack, should people get on there, particularly visual kind of businesses like hers, which is originally photography and videography. And so is there a place on Substack or is it all text? Also, how do you get an agent for kind of YouTube sponsorship? What does that look like? And can you actually make money from YouTube? So there's so much in today's chat, as well as just the most beautiful, honest conversations around family, juggling motherhood, juggling relationships with business. And it's just so honest and real and genuine. And I absolutely adore Lucy. And I'm so excited to be bringing you this amazing conversation with Lucy Luman. Welcome to the podcast, Lucy.
Thank you, Fiona. I am so excited. I'm an avid listener. So this is a real dream come true for me. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, likewise. I always want to start by asking, how are you feeling about life in this very moment?
Well, I'm feeling good, but also a little bit stressed, to be quite honest. I've just finished launching my first online course, which felt like just such a huge, as you know, like such a huge kind of feat and thing to get out there. And then I'm also feeling some relief as well, though. And I've just finished up a bunch of videos for deadlines. So there's that like nice feeling of kind of, okay, that's done. But yeah, I've had such a big kind of month. So it's been a lot going on, but generally feeling pretty good about life, feeling lucky and grateful. So yeah.
Yay. So you do a lot of things and I am always just very inspired by how many you do. But how do you describe all the things that you do in your creative businesses? I was thinking when you used to be on a plane and you had to write what your occupation is, what do you write, Lucy?
Yes, I do so many things. So it can be hard to kind of pinpoint it, but to put it super, super simply in that kind of, if you were to write on that form, which I do remember, would probably just be photographer and YouTuber, which sometimes feels kind of silly when you say YouTuber, people think of like Mr. Beast or... Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like sometimes that can be people's association. But yeah, first and foremost, a photographer and then a YouTuber is how I would describe myself if I was, just trying to give a simple answer.
Yes. What were you doing before this? Like, did you always know I'm going to be a photographer? And then obviously we're going to talk about all the things that that has led to. But what were you, like, did you go straight into working in that field? Like, what was younger Lucy like?
Yes. So I started off working in hospitality. So I left school when I was 14 because I really, really wanted to work. They've been in the workforce for so long. So I really, really wanted to work. Like I always had a real urge to work and earn like my own money and be independent. So I left school and I was in hospitality for like over 10 years. So that was sort of the bulk of my career, was just working in hospitality. I was normally in a managerial role and really loved it. I had always been into photography, like especially shooting film, like just shooting my parents' old film cameras, just as a hobby. And I was always surrounded by very creative people. I always sought them out and, you know, like my friends would be in bands and do all those kind of things. So I was very much a part of that, but I just took photos for fun and I never considered having a career in creativity at all. I think part of that's having sort of very working class British parents who had really cool interests that they passed on to me, but they were kind of like, you know, you got to get a job and you got to earn your money. And obviously things were different back then. So I don't begrudge them for that. But I think I just had a limited idea of sort of what I could do. Mm-hmm. So towards the end of working in hospitality, I got really frustrated, very resentful, and felt like I really needed a change. So I went to TAFE and I became a teacher aide at a special school, which was completely different, obviously. I really enjoyed it. It was quite stressful and it was just so totally different to anything I'd ever done before. This was before I'd had kids too, so I didn't really realize sort of, you know, caring for people and all of that. And that's where I met my husband, and he was a teacher at the school. That's how we met. I met him and he was really into photography as well. So we just had that connection of having so many shared kind of interests, which is like really good. And then we sort of from there started to take photos together and it all kind of snowballed into something bigger that we'll, you know, maybe get into later. But yeah, we tried to be like as creative as we could in our partnership. And then that just flowed on to starting a YouTube channel. I fell pregnant, and post-pregnancy, I really struggled. I had a really, really difficult birth, and I was struggling with postnatal depression. So I was feeling really disconnected to my creativity and to photography. I hadn't picked up my camera, hadn't done anything. And my husband said, why don't we start a YouTube channel, because you watch so much YouTube. And I was like, oh, that could be kind of cool. But again, didn't really think I could do that. I just thought I needed permission from someone to do it. Do you know what I mean? Or someone would have to ask me. So we did that, and it was just a hobby and like a side thing. And from there, we started obviously sharing more and more online, which before that was something that I'd never really been interested in. I was pretty offline, but YouTube led to sharing more on Instagram. And then from there, we decided to give it more of a go. And then I started getting inquiries from local people to do photography jobs, which wasn't something that I'd considered doing either, which sort of goes to show you, like, if you just put yourself out there as the creative that you are, like, things start to come. It was a local business that I started doing photos for, and she had so many beautiful products in her shop, and I would photograph them, and then those brands would reach out to me and say, like, oh, we want photos like this. So from there, we accidentally built up a photography and videography business, and it grew so much that my husband ended up leaving his job, and we put YouTube a little bit on the back burner, because I was like, wow, like, I'm getting enough inquiries to be a full-time, like, commercial photographer, which was completely not what I had intended to do. And then people started asking for video, because obviously video was blowing up. People wanted reels, and we had video sort of skills. So yeah, we accidentally went into that kind of space, and nearly all of last year, we were just doing photo and video for clients. And as that grew, it became really apparent to me that we'd need staff, we'd need people. And I know you've interviewed so many people on this podcast, and I find it so interesting and helpful when they sort of reveal that they went one way and it didn't really work, or they've created something and they were like, oh, that didn't work. And then they let it go, because you think, oh, you think you're failing if you throw in a direction and then it doesn't work out. And I'd sort of built up this thing, and I was like, oh, I didn't really want to become a commercial photographer or have all these clients, be doing all this video, be here and there. You know, you need contracts, you need, you know, all this stuff. And I was very out of my depth. So I had to make a decision of, what am I going to do here? Because I don't really want to build an agency and have staff. That's not what I went into business for. So last year was really like figuring out and learning from that experience that the place that we'd gotten to, which was really great because we were both earning a full-time living from our creativity, and, you know, things had changed so much, but we had to kind of, there was a bit of a fork in the road of, okay, that sort of isn't going to be sustainable for us, and we don't actually enjoy it that much. It's not the life we want. So that's when we put more focus on YouTube.
Wow. Oh my goodness. There's so much in that. I just want to give your husband a hug. I know that sounds weird, but the fact that, like, you were, you know, and you're very, like, kind and honest and genuine in sharing that you went through some struggles after your child's birth, because so many people do. But I love that he stepped in and was like, why don't you do this thing that you find creative? And, you know, why don't you have a go at this? I think that's such a amazing move by him, but also by you to go, hey, yeah, I am going to go into this. Because I think when you're in that depth, and I haven't gone through postnatal depression, but I have gone through different situations in my life when it's just been very, 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 very difficult, and my mental health has taken a huge plunge. And I think it's really amazing that you're able to, in that moment, go, okay, I actually am going to try this creative stuff, and maybe that could be a way out of how I'm feeling.
Yeah, exactly. That's so true. Yeah, it was really a way out, and I would never have done that. And if he hadn't have suggested that, you know, and he had so many skills built up from previous careers that he wasn't using too. Like, he'd worked in sound engineering and events, so he had a lot of prior knowledge. And he said to me, you know, I was always wanting to do something else as well, but I became a teacher because, you know, it's safe, it's lucrative, you know. So it was funny how it happened, and it seemed like there was a little bit of fate, not to be super cheesy, but meeting in that setting, like in a special school, which seems pretty unlikely. And then just how it snowballed from there, I all the time think I'm so glad that he suggested doing that. And that's why I'm so passionate about trying to get other people to put themselves out there and do things. Because like, it's honestly, YouTube has completely changed my entire life.
And also the whole like you talking on YouTube, and I watch your YouTubes, and it's like everyone will go and we'll talk about it more, and please go and check out Lucy if you haven't already. But that hospitality, I started when I was like a teenager in hospitality as well. And you have to talk to people. Like you're forced to talk to people and make conversation and get confident in front of like all sorts of different types of people, people that are rowdy, people that are quiet, all of that. And I feel like that all these skills you would have learned in all these different roles and then working at the school and, you know, maybe teaching in a different way or figuring out different people have different ways of learning things. All of that has helped you so much. I can see now in your business, but also in your YouTube and just having that ability to talk to anyone. It's so cool.
Yeah.
It's lovely when you can see all of those dots.
I know when people start saying, and people do that when I listen to the interviews that you do, and there's been a few people that have mentioned hospitality and I'm like, I really think it breeds like, a good entrepreneur and a good like a lot of creative people working in hospitality because it's like a stopgap. And everything, like for anyone listening who's kind of somewhere where they don't want to be right now, just take note of that because all of the skills that you learn, no matter what you're doing, seriously, like I worked in call centers as well briefly and, you do pick up things that you can then later on apply.
Then you had the photography business and you still, I don't think that's completely gone. Like obviously you're doing
you're
now a full-time YouTuber, like massive congrats. And I saw that recently on your socials and I was like, oh my God. So how did you go from like, so you started the YouTube after the birth of your child and then you said that went on the back burner and you did other things. And then was it last year when you were deciding to go, we don't want to have the agency model. Did you go, we have to go all in on YouTube? Was it always like, we need to get to a point that I can be a full-time YouTuber? Or was it, let's just build up YouTube and see how it works? And can I ask as well, were you already doing pretty well on YouTube in addition to having the photography business and videography business?
Yes. So yes, we were. So yeah, I built it up as just a hobby and noticed that it grew more so than I'd expected. And then there was like people commenting and there was a bit of a community, but I thought it would just be like a hobby. I thought maybe we'd get monetized on YouTube, but I never thought it would be any sort of like, career or like putting food on our table. Mm-hmm. And the obviously like a faster path to income is like a service.
Mm-hmm.
So the photography thing was a lot more kind of coming in. We were getting paid straight away. It was like a faster path. So yeah, YouTube started off as a hobby, but then as it grew, I started to think like, oh, maybe this could be something. And then we started getting emails for sponsorship. Videos were doing better and better. More people were messaging and it seemed like we were on the precipice of something. But because it's such a slow sort of growth thing,
mm-hmm.
it's very hard for that to sustain like a whole family, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So it was sort of just something that was like a side thing that we were building. But when the photography and the videography jobs took over, we just had like naturally had less time for YouTube. So we would still put videos out and it was still earning a little bit of money, but like any content model, if you're not feeding it a lot,
mm-hmm.
it tends to dip. And, you know, obviously sponsorships, they're looking at views and mm-hmm. cadence of uploading and you need to be showing up for the people. So, yeah, that took a bit of a dip, which I wasn't upset about because I really thought, like, you know, I loved flipping through fashion magazines when I was young and I'm a very visual person and I've always thought, like, wow, imagine shooting, like, fashion campaigns or mm-hmm. anything like that. I thought it was so glamorous. And then the more we did it, the more I was like, oh, this is not what I thought it would be. And then even when it was, I was like, I'm not actually enjoying this as much as making YouTube videos because mm-hmm. YouTube is a lot more free. Like I can make the video about what I want. And it felt very just something that my husband and I were doing and we were in control of. So it kind of felt more like a business mm-hmm. than just creating stuff for other people to help sell their products, which yeah. I like doing sometimes, but as a whole, like my everyday, I felt like I was caught in this sort of cycle. So yeah, so YouTube, then when we decided to change, because last year we just felt so burnt out trying to create so much content for other people and then also give YouTube what it wanted, mm-hmm. it felt like Like when people talk about when they've got a job and they're building a business on the side and they hit that tipping point where it's like, okay, like it's not quite enough. Like it's, but it's, I need to, something needs to break here. Like I have to stop doing something to give this attention to see if it will work.
Yeah.
So that's what we decided to do at the end of last year, like scale back the client work. Mm-hmm. Still take stuff on because I still do that now and I enjoy it, but really put it all like of what we had into YouTube. And anytime we've done that in our business, it's always worked. Mm-hmm. So we were like, okay, let's give it a go. We'll give it like 3 months and just see, because we can always go back to the other thing or we can reiterate, which is something I've realized you have to just do all the time when you're like in business for yourself. So we went all in on YouTube and like it officially went sort of full time, as in it can be a full time salary for the both of us. Mm-hmm. We're not like, you know, living the high life, but like it can, you know, cover everything. Because, yeah, we went all in on it. We were focused on like just doing the one thing and we had more time to give it, to give it the ideas, to put into crafting videos, to look at the analytics and go, okay, what's doing well? How can we double down on that? And then just, you know, share on other platforms as well to like feed into making the business what we wanted it to be, rather than just like, I'm a person for hire to perform, which is, it is like, is fine. It's just not what I was like, oh, there's this other thing over here I could be doing. I think I should just try and give that my all and see what happens.
Wow. And it's so amazing that you work together and your partner is never on your YouTube. So from what I've seen, maybe I've missed a video. But so he's behind the scenes filming it, editing it. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
You both come up with, because you're talking so much about creativity and, I mean, you're both in that space, but do you ever clash on ideas for, and I'm totally putting you on the spot here, but yeah, I just wonder if you, do you take the lead? Because you're like, well, I am the face. It is my name. It is my face. I think this is a fascinating question and totally feel free if you don't want to answer it.
No, it's a great question. I'm always curious about people who like partnerships, like working together. Most of the time, I mean, we do disagree on concepts or like ideas. Someone thinks that would be a really great YouTube video. I think I'm more thinking about less about like a viral video title or something that's going to grab people's attention or like a camera that's really popular, all those things. I'm thinking more about like the longevity of the, like the brand and the business and more from that aspect. Mm-hmm. So in that way, we can kind of clash because I'd rather do something that it might not do as well, but it's very fitting with the message around like what I say, you know? So I think that's really important. I think it's important for any brand, you know, like those are the ones that stand the test of time. So I'm trying to be sort of aware of that. But we definitely argue. I mean, I really loathe when people are like, oh, no, we never like, you know, because
never have an issue.
You know, to bring up a child with someone, is, you know, a small child. Like that's something that people don't talk about. They talk about how parent, like having kids is hard, but then for your relationship can be really hard too. Like you don't get the time that you did pre.
Yeah.
You know,
also your own ideas about what a parenting or like what, you know, do we value education the same way? Do we value this the same way? Do we value money the same way? Like it's, there's so many.
Yeah. Discipline and like consequences and like what you get angry about or how angry you get at them for whatever. So that's hard. And then to run a business, which can be really, you know, obviously stressful. And then to have a relationship separate from that can be really hard. But I'm, again, very grateful because I'm working with someone every day who I trust completely and know has my best interests at heart. And I've come from a lot of not so great backgrounds in hospitality and various other industries. So I'm really grateful that I'm in like a safe, supportive environment. You know, you might disagree on a concept or a YouTube title, but it's really not the,
it's not the end of the world.
Yes.
It's not going to break down everything. And so on that, you have a lot of content. And so, and also you didn't mention, but you model as well, and you're a bit of an influencer for brands. Do you hate that term, influencer?
I mean, I don't hate it for other people. I think I just like, I don't know, for me, like it feels like it's not real because I feel like I'm, when you talk to me or if you met me, it's like I'm a little bit, not like dorky, but you just think of like influencer as like, you know, this perfect person that's, you know.
But you influence. I always think people who influence are literally influencers, even if they're not like the influencer that we imagine. You are exactly.
Exactly. It's like a, I just did a video that will come out soon about personal branding, and people hate, some people hate that, like, oh, personal brand. But like everyone, like throughout history, you can be like, well, that's personal brand, like brand building, like anything that you are doing and you're bringing yourself to it, like that is essentially what you're doing. So so similar thing. Yeah. I think some people get funny about influencer content creator as well. And the, you know, art space, sometimes people don't like the word content. And they're like,
yes.
And all of that.
Creative. There's so many. It's all just syntax. Like it's, somebody actually got in touch with me recently who used to work with me when I was head of marketing at Mimco. And she said, oh, I've been trying to build my personal brand, or maybe her partner was. And she was like, I remembered how you used to always do figurehead profiling for Kath, who was MD at the time. And always you'd talk about figurehead profiling. I'm like, they're just different words. It's the same thing. Like you're basically trying to build your profile as the founder or as the this or whatever, as the personal brand. But coming back to YouTube and with your content. So because you've gone all in, how long does it actually take you to like make all of this content? And do you batch create like on a monthly basis? Because you've also got Substack, and we're going to talk about that in a second, but you've got your socials, you've got all these different things, and then YouTube itself. How do you create all of this content?
It's a lot. Content creation is very time consuming, and I feel sorry for business owners now because it's like this huge expectation. It's different for me because my business is content creation. So this is me working on my business when I'm creating it all. So I can give it a lot of time and warrant that. But if you're doing something else, like you're making shoes or you're making ceramics, and then you have to all of a sudden do the content thing, it's very difficult. And there's so much to learn and that goes into it, depending on how you do it. But yeah, so it does take a lot of time. Like it looks like, oh, so fun to be a YouTuber, but there's a lot of really grindy parts. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, obviously editing takes time, but things like test watching videos, like rendering them out with like Australian internet is just, you know, so brutal. So it's not all glamorous. But in terms of how I work, because I have the luxury of being able to put a lot of time into YouTube, is I'll dedicate time to scripting. And I think being planned and organized up front really, really helps. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty much always working on scripts, and I have like a whole list of ideas all the time. But I'll look at the month overall, and we put a video out every week on both channels. So that's 8 YouTube videos a month, which is that's a lot, but I mean, it's our full-time thing. So, you know, and then I put out a Substack every Friday. So in terms of Substack, it only takes me an hour or so to write that. Mm-hmm. And I'm in a real flow with it now, probably like you are with your Sunday email.
Like which I love. Going out.
And then in terms of YouTube, it's very much at the beginning of the week, I'll dedicate time to scripting and being ready so that when I'm filming, I can film as many YouTube videos as I can deliver and be sane doing, which is normally about 4 or 5. Yeah, because after that, I'm like, okay, I'm really done sort of talking, and you don't want your frustration to come through. And yeah, it looks like just in my living room, moving the furniture around, setting up the lights, and then getting changed for every video. So it's like a new time. A new day. And yeah, delivering it for both of the YouTube channels. And then I'm very lucky because my husband he's setting up all the filming and all the lighting. So I just focus on the script and what I'm going to say, which is like most, a lot of people are doing all of it themselves. Mm-hmm. And then he's doing all of the editing and like, you know, sort of all the post-processing. I'll have input in whether or not I think something should come out, put in assets, like all that kind of stuff. But yeah, so that's sort of collaborative, but it does take, you know, I mean, it takes probably about 2 hours to edit a YouTube video, but that's after 4 years of like my husband editing and getting so quick and upgrading our gear and being really streamlined. So for people listening who would want to do something like that, it obviously shouldn't take up that much of your time because you wouldn't be able to do anything else. But having an editor obviously would take out a huge chunk of that work, and there's plenty of really great editors now. And yeah, that helps to take a huge chunk off of your plate. But yeah, the scripting is really, I think, the most important part because it's the idea. It would be like writing a book. Like you need a good idea, and you know. So I need to make sure that it's something people are interested in, that it's going to be clickable. Mm-hmm. Just like if you were writing an article, like really YouTube is like, it's like journalism in, okay, like what's the concept? What's the overall message? Your intro has got to be really good. Like they tell you your first few lines have to be grabbing. Your less important stuff's probably going to go to the end because most people are kind of switching off maybe halfway through. That's just how it is because they're looking at all the other little videos on the side and then they've gone. And then how are you going to like title and thumbnail it? So how are you going to entice people the same way you would with a newspaper headline, really? Mm-hmm. So I think of it like that, and I'll take ideas from Substack because that's really that model, you know? It's like, okay, oh, people really commented on that. They loved that about finding a niche or whatever, and I'll turn that into a YouTube video to make it a little bit easier for myself, repurposing. But it's definitely time consuming. Sometimes you put so much effort into a YouTube video and you're so sure, and then it just
tanks.
Totally tanks, which I know happens like when I did a lot of fashion stuff, like, you know, you get the intel on and it's, oh, that design just totally flopped. So that it's if you start viewing it like that, I think with content, people get very emotionally kind of, you know, because it's like, it's me on screen, or, but it's just like any other business where you're going to have the wins and fails, and then you just learn, I know certain things don't do well, so I leave them alone or whatever. So yeah, hopefully that's a little bit of an insight into how it, because it's not totally structured in terms of like, because I have a child and things, we sort of work together at home, so it's not like this perfect like routine, daily routine of content like you see maybe someone in their early 20s doing YouTube, you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, that'd be really nice to wake up and script, and then I go for a walk, and then I
go and get my coffee, and then I do this, and and then it's like, and it's just me in my apartment all day, and I can do that.
I know.
And there's no like Lego in the background or somebody yelling at you, or just even like the post person coming. It just feels like everything's just set up where they can just get up and execute 17 videos today.
Yeah, my life does not look like that at all. There's a lot of like toys everywhere and, you know, fires to put out and things like that. So sometimes it won't happen and we'll be behind and we'll have to film on like a Sunday. And I'll say to my mum, can you have Luca? Or, you know, in the past, the first 2 years we did it at night, solidly at night.
Wow.
Because my partner was working full time. So we would do it. We'd put Luca to bed and he was like one. And then we'd be like, okay, let's film YouTube videos like at night and then edit when he'd finished work. And so it's a lot of
it's a grind.
It's all worth it, like it's built up, so things just take time, you know.
And I think that we were talking before we hit record on the consistency, I think, is so important on YouTube. It's the same with podcasts, because you become part of people's routine. Twice this podcast has gone out late on a Thursday, and both times we have had DMs. I've had people being like, oh my god, I'm at the gym, what's happened? You don't have a podcast episode. And it's like, oh my God. Like, I really was very flattered, but I was also like, yeah, this has become people's like, it's Thursday, I listen to the episode, or it's Tuesday, I do this, or I've got this person I was telling you about, and they were putting out content every Wednesday, every Sunday, and then it went to just Sunday, and then it's just disappeared. And honestly, my Sunday used to be, okay, it's lazy. Like, if we didn't have anything on, I'd get my coffee, I'd sit on the couch, I'd be like, okay, it's my time to watch her.
Yes.
And it's gone. And I know her on Instagram. I really want to be like, where is your YouTube?
Excuse me. Can you please? I know. But that's what happens.
So important.
Have a responsibility or like a feel. Yeah. But in a nice way, though, people are like, I like what you do. Like, they're watching a show. Imagine if like the show you're watching on Netflix just stopped.
Or be like, we'll come in 3 weeks or maybe 4 weeks. And so with that consistency, one thing that I was going to ask is like, when you're testing things, or even say, for example, no, let me ask that first. When you're testing things, do you ever like put out a video and then change the thumbnail or edit things after it's been put out? Is that something you do more now, or do you never do that? I know that's something people talk about, like, you know.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, we definitely do that for sure. So YouTube has a great feature now where you can A/B test a thumbnail. So that's like the image that's on the video, and which is very important because that's what people are scrolling through, and you want your thumbnail and your titles to sort of work together to create some kind of intrigue. It's different for every niche. Like, some people I watch and I'm like, you know, you're putting no effort in at all and you're getting so many views, but there's normally something that's gone into that, like they've been doing it for a long time. So, but yeah, we definitely A/B test the picture, make them different, so you can be like, oh, okay, this had a higher click-through rate than this one, or maybe they're pretty much the same. So you're like, okay. And then title definitely gets changed. Like, unless it's really doing well and you want to kind of give something like 24 hours on YouTube, like it's different to Instagram in that way, because you want to wait for like your optimal time and for YouTube to be like, okay, this is how long people are watching, you know, and you want all of those stars to align in the analytics. But we definitely play around with the title, and I find it so fascinating, to be honest with you. And I think this is why we've gotten into YouTube. It's very addictive. Like,
it is.
In a good way, not in a bad way, but it's because they give you so many analytics. It makes Instagram just look just like Instagram's not helping you at all, whereas YouTube really kind of wants you to succeed. So when you go in the analytics, it's so interesting to see everything broken down. And then with the title, you know, you'll title something different and do a different spin on it. It's still the same video. And then all of a sudden it shoots up and does really well and it saves it. And you're like, oh, wow, that wording really changed things for people. And then the psychology behind that, I just find really fascinating. Like, I guess it's marketing, really. And I find that aspect of YouTube. And I think you do have to have some kind of like interest in that to be on there, because that is an important aspect.
Yeah, I have also seen people who've just thrown something up and I feel like they've ticked a box of I'm on YouTube. But you can see, and they're people that have like huge audiences. And I've actually been sort of surprised, and sometimes this is what I think I'm scared of getting on YouTube, is that sometimes I saw this American woman who is huge, huge. Everyone would know her name. And she started YouTube and it's like 243 views and she's got millions of followers. And I was like, huh. But I also feel like she hasn't looked at the analytics. She hasn't looked at what's actually working in that space. And it's just been very much like, oh, I'll just do the same as I do on Instagram. And it's totally different. And yeah. And so I wanted to ask as well, with the sponsorship and, you know, being able to move into a full-time career, who manages that? Do you have an outsource? Do you have an admin? Do you like choose a day and you're like, okay, this is when I'm pitching myself, or do you have enough work coming in that you don't have to pitch to have sponsors? How does that whole thing work?
So great question, because I think people are very like, ooh, how does that work? You know, like a lot of people wonder that. So the last 3 months I've had an agent. So an agency there in the US, which is really great because my audience are mainly in the US. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of the time what brands are looking for. Yeah. It seems to be what dominates. So that has been an absolute game changer. I approached them about it because I thought I had to wait for an agency to like come to me, because I knew other people in the business that they're like, they have an agent. And I was like, oh, they have an agent. You need to wait for the agent to come to you, mm-hmm. you know? So, and then I was like, I'll just reach out to some that I can see represent other people that I watch, and then had a meeting with them. And yeah, I've just signed with them for a year. And that's been, honestly, it's, you know how people talk about, a lot of people say getting a bookkeeper is a game changer when you work for yourself, because someone else is doing all that stuff that you're probably not super into. That's how I feel now. I felt like that when I got a bookkeeper. I was like, oh, this is amazing. And then now I feel like that again, having an agent, because before that I was dealing with all the sponsorships myself. So it's a lot of reading contracts. It's pretty serious. And I'm like, oh my God, like A, don't understand, B, don't have time. And then also defining the scope of like what it is and what the terms will be, which can also be very tricky. And then like getting paid too. Like there's a lot of like not getting paid in this industry. So having someone in your corner there. But it is, I'd like to say for anyone listening who's interested as well, it is the sponsorships that allow me to make this my full-time career, as opposed to like the ad revenue that you earn just from YouTube, because you need to have such high views for that to be the case. So you kind of need to be in specific niches, I guess. Like the finance niche always does well. Anything to do with like making money always does well.
I feel like that's the same with podcasts. All the podcasts in business are always, they're just finance. They should have their own. I'm always like, move to your own finance
section.
Just pushing everyone else down, but yes.
Yeah.
And so how have you found I'm just putting you on the spot. I find this so fascinating. And I've got so many other questions to ask you. So one of the things that I saw you do that I think is amazing, it sounds like I stalk you. I don't, Lucy. I just follow you. But I did see that you recently were like, I'm paraphrasing, but you said something like, I just do not have the time to respond to every single person's DMs and give all this stuff. So you know, go over to my YouTube, but also I've got an email. But I thought it was amazing because I have so many clients who find it very hard to set boundaries, especially in DMs. I know myself, I have sometimes been on holiday or whatever, and it's like, oh, but this is business owner and they're struggling and da-da. And it's like, there's just one question, but then the one question leads to like 50 other questions and suddenly you've sent 5 voice notes and you're like, oh my God, I've just spent 40 minutes doing something instead of getting the other things that I need to get done. And I'm not saying people can't DM, but how do you maintain that when you are giving so much advice about creativity, about running a business, about being a photographer, and you must get so many, even just like technical questions?
Yes, that's very true. I get a lot of DMs, a lot of emails, and then obviously I've got comments, which is great, coming in on all of the like the Substack, that there's content going out and you want to sort of reply. And that's always my main priority, is to reply to the comments, because, you know, those people are watching the videos or reading the Substack, and I try and set time aside. I set like engagement time aside normally at the end of the day, because I'm sort of like not really going to get anything done. So 20 minutes at the end of the day, I just jump in and reply to comments. But in terms of DMs like that, I'm very much a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. And my whole kind of thing was like, I'm approachable, and photography can be very intimidating and very technical. And there's a lot of men in photography and in the photography content space. So I really wanted to be someone that people felt like they could message and ask a question. But then as that went on and I got busier and busier and the stakes were higher in that, like, I have to get this done, otherwise like I don't get paid. Mm. I had to kind of sort of start setting a boundary, because I definitely had that where I'm like, you know, my son's come home and now someone's pinged another question and I feel as though I have to answer that, and I'm answering that and he's like, oh, can you play, you know, and you're just like, oh, what's going on? So, and I also had a few people message and sort of be either annoyed that I hadn't gotten back, or like, why haven't you replied? Which I'm always like, oh, geez, you know. And then that kind of made me feel then guilty, because I am sort of a people pleaser. So I just thought, you know what, I'm going to put that up there and say, like, they're not monitored, because then that just made me feel like, honestly, it made me feel so much better, because I was like, well, there's no expectation. If I want to check and I have time, I'll get back to people, but it's not like required of me. And then I always let people know if they do have something to comment on Substack or on YouTube, and let me know what you want me to cover or if you have questions. Mm-hmm. And then it's out there for everyone, because the idea of the DM is like, I'm not saying it's selfish for people to DM, and I don't want people to not DM either of us, but it's probably a question other people have, and I'd rather answer it in content.
Yeah.
So more people can go, oh yeah, I also had that question. So sometimes I see things and I don't answer, and I put it in my little list of to cover, you know, like someone was asking how to approach models. So I've done a video on, you know, as a man, how to kind of go about approaching, you know, females if you want to do shoots or those sorts of things. So, but yeah, definitely setting those boundaries. It's something you learn as you go, because I do think if you are building like a content business or you're trying to build anything up, I guess you do need to be accessible in the beginning. Like you really need to be, like I would be like replying to every single person on YouTube, like religiously for probably 2 years and on everything. But it gets to that point where that's not sustainable anymore. Yeah.
So you've put yourself out there on so many different platforms. And like we've just talked about, there's so many other things in addition to the content, like answering questions and all of that. If someone is listening to this who wants to put themselves out there more, whether it's Substack or YouTube or just posting more on socials, where do you think they should begin?
That's a great question. I think like finding the platform that's right for you is really like, that's very, very important in the beginning, because not every platform is going to suit everyone. And start with focusing on 1 to 2 platforms. I'd say just one, you know, giving, if you want to start a YouTube channel, start a YouTube channel. The best place to grow on YouTube is on YouTube. You don't need to, you know, spread yourself so thin. And if you're wanting to kind of put yourself out there more, I know a lot of creative people struggle with that, because they're like, I just want to do my thing. I don't want to have to then do this other thing too. Find a way to kind of like bring your personality to what you're doing. That doesn't necessarily have to be sort of talking on camera. It can just be sharing stories in, you know, written form. Like at the moment on Instagram, writing on the actual tile is really big. I'm not sure if it will be, things change so, you know, so frequently, but like sharing more of your story and your personality and making that part of like your niche or your business and what you do, and leaning into that and being, you know, you. I think is a really good place to work from, because that's sustainable and it's going to naturally set you apart, because, you know, maybe you're a ceramicist and someone else is a ceramicist, but like the thing that's different about you is you, like both of you and your experiences and what's led you to that. You know, like today I've shared a lot about myself and it's probably resonated with certain people. Maybe it hasn't with other people, and it's going to magnetize them or not based on that. And I think that's really powerful. On socials, I think like finding what works for you. For me, I like long form for YouTube, and Substack helps me grow an email list and I can write long form posts on there. I'm in my 30s. Like, I feel comfortable with both those platforms. Whereas when I go on TikTok, I feel, I don't know, like I just feel it doesn't resonate with me. Substack reminds me of Tumblr. That's, you know, my age group kind of thing. Then YouTube, I just love. I've always watched YouTube. So finding a platform you enjoy is going to be so much more sustainable, because people have such a like, attitude towards content and social media. But if you watch, like you watch a lot of YouTube or you listen to podcasts, like get in the space that you enjoy and then like bring yourself and your creativity to it. So I like YouTube because I can be creative with how the videos are put together, you know, and I like Substack because I really like writing in just my tone of voice and I get to share my photos on there and like bring yourself to it if you can.
And if anyone is listening to this after that great advice, if they're like, what is Substack? I know you've done a video on it and we'll link to that, but if you had to describe Substack pretty briefly, like when you said Tumblr, people might be like, oh, so it's just another, you know, photo sharing. But what is Substack?
So it's first and foremost a newsletter platform. So it's a platform where you can start a newsletter and then email that out to people. And that's how it started off. And now it's grown into something with its own interface where you can, you know, it's got a feed and it's got the ability to now share photos, like videos, links and all of those things in a feed that sort of resembles Twitter almost, but it's not as chaotic.
It's abusive.
It's really, honestly, it's such a nice platform. I mean, I hope it stays like that. There's no ads. And it echoes Tumblr in like the way of just sort of the type of content people are sharing. Like it's very creativity focused, or, you know, people are just sharing kind of their days. It feels a lot more wholesome and just kind of, I feel like it's like a safe place on the internet. And I can really see, I know people say this and I don't want to be one of those annoying people that predicts things, but I really do think I see more and more people jumping over there. You know, whether they're like big stars, like Pamela Anderson's writing on there or whoever, everything from cooking, you can live stream on there. And then you're building an email list. So you own that list as long as you're downloading it frequently, which to me is a lot more, like I keep going like, no, don't make a post on Instagram, go do something else on Substack, because you're getting so much more out of it rather than just feeding the Meta machine that's going to change it all on you or could just be gone or whatever. So it's a really interesting one to, especially for, your listeners as well.
Yes, I find it really interesting. I started following, well, I was already following a couple of people, but some of my clients have joined on there and one of my good friends has gone on there and I'm like, but it's just, again, it needs to be part of your routine. Like it's not, I have my little Substack app, but currently, I would say I'm not on there like every day or whatever. But yes. And so before we get into our quick fire round, you are such a mentor to so many people and you're giving resources and now you've got your new course. Have you had mentors? Have you gone through, I don't know, any kind of business program, or have you had books or podcasts or anything that have been very helpful to you?
Yes. So I would say, I don't know if this is, again, like very, it's very cheesy, but I'd say one of my biggest mentors, definitely my husband. Because he knows me so well.
Yeah.
So he knows the patterns and he can ground me and he believes in me so much more than I believe in myself. Like he really does. And I can really see that he does. Like I buy his belief in me a lot more than mine. So that really helps me I feel like he really lifts me up and puts me on a pedestal every day and doesn't want any of the limelight because he knows that's like way more of my thing. So it's just such a nice partnership. So I'd say, it would feel bad not to say him because he's there every day, stood by me and through parenting and all the other things as well, not just the business. And then also like a little bit rogue, but Leo from Radical Yes, I worked with.
Oh, I love Leo.
I
love Karen. They're just amazing.
And Karen for sure. Like Yeah, Karen sent me a Substack article once as well about like knowing your value as a creative, and that was really helpful. And yeah, Leo, I spoke to Leo, it was because he's marketing. So I spoke to him a lot when I was working with him, and we'd just end up sending really long emails about just things. And he would just always sort of be very congratulatory if we'd, you know, stepped into a new direction and just offer great advice, obviously over his years of seeing the internet evolve and, yes. and all of those things. So he's been really helpful and such a great, they were such great people to work for as well. And then in terms of books, I would say Mastery by Robert Greene is like my one book that I recommend. And it can be quite sort of divisive and he can be quite controversial because of things he's written, I suppose. But I think Mastery particularly, if you want to read something that's really going to like kick you into gear of, okay, like what am I going to, what's going to be my life's work? What's my real passion? I read that and then I decided that we would go all in on YouTube because it felt very clear to me after that. So it was one of those books where you really have a moment after. And then podcasts, obviously yours, Fiona, and I'm not saying that. I listen religiously and I love how you interview people and then obviously all the information that you give, and you're so like approachable and like normal in, I mean that in a good way. Like you feel, I feel like you're there with me, but then you've also got all this really, you know, great like expert knowledge. And Kayleen Langford from Startup Creative. Well, I love listening to Australian podcasts because it feels more, you know what I mean? Like obviously there's great American things, but it's nice when someone's Australian, you're like, oh. So so those things. And I have started reading Profit First as well. And it's something I should read more, but I think I get caught up in all the other stuff and that stuff comes last. But I think eventually it catches up with you and you have to pay attention to that.
And I think sometimes my sister read Profit First and she changed things, but she was like, oh yeah, I finally read it. But I do think that it has helped. But I also think that books like Profit First or other books, even that Mastery, they find you when you need them. They find you when you're ready. You know, like what is it? When the student's ready, the teacher appears. I feel like, you know, sometimes I've had a book on my shelf for literally years and years and people have raved about it and people have mentioned it. And then and then one day I'll turn to look at it and I'm like, oh, I need to read this now. Like in this moment, I need to read this. So I think it'll be there. So we're going to our quick fire round. Are you ready?
So I am ready. I'm so excited.
What is your non-negotiable self-care practice?
So this one would be, it sounds really silly, but going outside once a day, which makes it sound like I'm locked in my house, but I'm at the computer so much. So if I need to get out for a walk in the morning, get some sunshine, fresh air, or like go for a run after work or just, walk around the block. I need to get outside like once every day because you can get so just locked in the screen and then you're like, oh, it's been in here all day.
And the sun's gone down and it's like, yes, I am the same. Are you an early bird or night owl for getting work done?
I would say both, Fiona, only because like in the morning, as you know, like we talked about with the 20, like, you know, oh, just like the, just having kids, like,
oh, yes,
you know, it's in the morning, it's hard because they're like, you know, they want this and they want that. So I do feel ready to. So often I then end up at night when he's gone to bed, I know there's no expectation. So I might write my Substack or do something because it feels quiet and that no one's going to be like, I'm hungry or whatever. So both, but ideally I'd like to be doing it like early in the morning and be like the 21-year-old with the apartment on their own, waking up, filming the
filming everything and just, and yeah. Oh, no. So many times when I see things, I just think, well, that's really nice for you, somebody.
For you.
Yeah. Yep. For you in your space. Okay. What does success look like to you beyond revenue?
So freedom, definitely freedom. I think just having the freedom to be able to, I'm going to start homeschooling my son next year. And that to me is like success, and just generally having more time with my family, like beyond, obviously revenue allows you those things, but that's what's really important to me and what I'm always working towards. Like I have my son in my mind all the time, thinking about his future and how I can give more to him through building this business. So yeah, that's like my success point.
Yeah. This is interesting because you do so much on YouTube. Do you have a particular outfit that makes you feel really confident? Either, you know, I mean, you do so much in the fashion space too, so I'll be quite interested in this. What is your answer?
Great question, because I love clothes. Yeah, so I love clothes, but the thing that makes me feel like the most confident would be accessories. So like shoes, bags, jewelry, and perfume. Like, I sprayed perfume yesterday when we were filming and I was like, why am I even doing, no one's even here. But it makes you feel, yeah, those things to me, I think are worth investing in. And also you can just have jeans and a t-shirt on. But if you've got like a great bag, great shoes, jewelry, I know you love like your earrings, yes, and stuff like that, those things just pull everything together and make you feel, yeah, whereas clothes just don't have the same effect. So yeah, accessories. And I've been lucky enough to work with many like Radical Yes, amazing, yeah, accessory brands. So I'm not short on those things too.
Yeah. It's so funny that you said that. I put perfume on before this interview and I was in the kitchen because I was getting like decluttering all my handbags the other day. And I saw this perfume and I thought, oh, why not? Why not? But even not, though, yeah, I'm just in my office, it's not like you can smell me, but it does. It does something to your psyche. So that is amazing. Okay. What's your favorite piece in your home that is not, you know, living? So it can't be a plant or a child. Or your husband. Okay. Yeah.
I think he's had enough praise for this podcast. It would be my Mocha Master, my yellow Mocha Master. We've had it for so long now. And yeah, it gets like used every day and it's such a nice piece to look at. You know,
is that a coffee machine?
Yeah.
It's, is that one of those like fancy, like,
yeah, it's like
glass
and batch like, brew ones where, you know, like filter coffee. Mm-hmm. And then there's all different colors and they bring out, you know, different ones all the time. But we've got a yellow, like that mustard vintagey yellow. I like the like passion, purpose, profit.
Like the pencil.
Color.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. That kind of color. And like if my rich life would be just to have different colors of those in, you know, every like, yeah, just
every room.
Every room to match everything. So that, and then my cameras as well. Because we have so many that act as decor pieces because they're everywhere around the house and they're like in the back of my set, and some of the film cameras don't work, so they do end up as like fun shelf pieces. So those would be my two things. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Okay. What is your favorite way to celebrate a win?
I'm sad to say this to you, Fiona, but I feel like we don't celebrate wins, and we probably should, but we're both very anxious. Mm-hmm. And my partner will be like, oh, we don't want to celebrate it too soon in case something, like he can be a little bit like superstitious, I suppose.
Yeah.
So we've become very like stoic, like very, we don't want to, which I'm not sure if that's good or bad, because then I also get very disappointed.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it's good to be kind of just level. And also I feel like I'm just in a season with parenting where it feels hard to get time to go and do the thing that I would want to do. Like the other night I was like, oh, I just love having my peppermint tea like at night when my son goes to bed. And I was like thinking, oh God, I never thought a peppermint tea would be so exciting.
I hear you. Like sometimes when everyone goes out of my house, I just get my cup, you know, tea or whatever, and I just sit on the couch and I'm like, oh, it's just quiet.
Oh, isn't it so nice? Yes. Yeah. That would
and
be
you
like
don't have
my
to microwave it. It's like I can just have it hot because I'm not being interrupted 50 times. Yeah. Yes. Oh, I hear you so much. Okay. What is the best piece of advice, or at least one piece of advice that you live by?
It's a Seth Godin one, I believe, is to choose yourself. So reject the tyranny of picked, choose yourself. No one's going to make it happen for you. Yes, people will help you and collaborating with people is great and people can help you. But like really, it's you that makes things happen. And I've learned that so much. I really thought, oh, this person will be the ticket to this, or if I get that job, then everything will happen. But really, it's you driving everything forward, which is good when you can accept that, because then you're in control. So I'm always like, if I want to do something, I need to create ways for that to happen. Or what do other people who do that look like? What do they do? I'm going to start doing that. So, you know, yeah, choose yourself.
I love that. And I was going to say, a number of times in this conversation, you've said, I was waiting for permission. Like I was waiting for permission for an agent, or I was waiting for permission for sponsors, or I was waiting for permission to start a YouTube channel. And I think so many of us wait for permission. Like I know lots of people, and even I did this for a long time. I would never pitch for a speaking gig. I would be like, well, if I'm good enough, they'll come to me and ask me to speak. And, you know, thankfully lots of times that has happened. But I was actually just talking to somebody the other day, someone put me in touch. And she was like, oh, yeah, no, we get pitched all the time. And I was like, oh. And you know, when you just have that realization again that you're not waiting around, Kalaki. So I love that you said that, because I think a lot of people will resonate with it. So what are you most proud of from your journey so far?
I am most proud of the fact that I was able to hire my mum at the beginning of last year, because she got fired unexpectedly from her job and she still has like her mortgage to pay. And my dad's retired, so she was looking for a job. And it was actually, again, the husband is coming up, said, why don't we hire Jane, your mum, and get her to have Luca and like help you like around the house. So I hadn't thought about doing that. And we did. And I didn't think I'd be able to sustain it. And neither did she. And we have, and we do. And I'm so proud to so that she doesn't have to go and work somewhere. She can be with her grandson every day. I'm happy that he, you know, we took him out of childcare and he's just with her, which feels like amazing. So yeah, to be able to like do something with your creativity and then effectively have it support in more than just us three, like her as well. And I wouldn't be able to do any of what we do without my parents. Like they help. They live like four doors down from me. So yeah, so that's definitely my like most proud thing. And when things get really hard, I'm always happy to do that. And I love transferring her like the money every week. I'm like, when I transfer her that money, I'm like, oh, how good, so good. Yeah. And I hope I can get to a point where I can pay her more or get her things.
That is so cool. And I also love that when you talked about your husband, like the complete trust that's there, that would also be there with your mum, you know, like she raised you. So you know exactly how she's going to be. Oh, it just sounds like you have a really good support system. I love that so much. All right. I have one question and I'm going to put you on the spot, but if you don't want to answer it, it's completely fine. But I feel like it would be remiss of me not to ask because there'll be people listening who are photographers who are like, how is Lucy feeling about AI?
It's a great question. And I love the way you talk about AI and it's definitely a hot topic. I don't really worry about it because I feel like I think there's a lot of problems and issues with it. But I also think that what I tell photographers is if you have a distinct style or a way that you do something, and often that's not coming from like a technical aspect or being really proficient and practice. It can be something that's like a mistake or is subverting what people would normally do. And I think that's what we're looking for. We're looking for like the humanness in everything, which is why film is really popular. And when I started shooting film last year, commercially, people were like, oh, you're never, ever going to be able to do that. No one's going to pay the extra. It's not sustainable, blah, blah, blah. And it was, and people were coming and asking for it, I think because of the fact that you have iPhone photos and you've got AI and film just feels so real. I did a restaurant photography job last week and they were so excited that I was shooting film. And I said, oh, I've got some black and white film. Do you want me to do that? I thought that would be creative and fun. And they loved it. And they were getting so excited and they loved that they were going to have something that was like different. So I think like different is better than better. If you're a photographer, like, and you're trying to get the perfect exposure and have everything looking like glossy and perfect and pristine, AI can do that. Do you know what I mean? So from my aspect and how I shoot, like I don't then worry about it, not to sound arrogant, but because what I do, there's a lot of me in it. And I think just generally out of our whole conversation, if you do that, then, you know, you're safeguarding yourself a lot because, no one can be you. So like the photography aspect, there is a button pushing element to it, but you've got to push past that and put you in it, or like the concepts you can come up with, the props you can get, the locations you can find, like the vibe you can create, and also working with you too. Like if you're just reliable and all those things, people forget about those things. You can execute a brief, you're reliable, like you show up, you're good to work with, people spread that word, and that goes for everything. And those things also are things that AI is not, you're not going to have that relationship with.
No.
And then on the flip side, AI has been completely game-changing, like video editing. It's so good. You know, it cuts out automatically cuts out all the dead air, like really fast tracks our job. When you're editing photos, you can, like my husband's a bit older than me and he's, it used to take an hour to do that back in the day. And like now you just go click, click, click and it's done. So use it for that and embrace it for that and then get all your like good creative stuff in there so people can see that. And that's, what'll set you apart, I guess.
So good. Thank you for answering that. So what is next for Lucy Lumen? And also you've got another YouTube channel that you started more recently. Like, are you going to just keep starting more and more YouTube channels? And so what's coming up?
It's funny you say that because we were talking about starting a movie review channel because I love movies. And I was like, oh, we watch a lot of movie review channels. And I was like, we could have a movie review channel, but I'm not sure how many YouTube channels one or two people can have. But I think what I'd really like to write a book, like for creative people, not a novel, but something that people can use as a resource to help them with their mindset, maybe, because I find creative people struggle a lot, or that's what's in the way of them doing something. So a deck of cards or something physical like that would feel really, really cool. And I would love to speak or do, I've done a couple of like panel things, and I think that would be really cool to just make more impact. Mm-hmm. Like, I really want to make impact with what I'm doing, more so than people looking at my photos, or like, I want to create like an impact on people in a bigger way and get them to do something, not so much about me, more about them. Yeah. And then overall, like, I just really want to create a business that allows us to travel and then to just be with my family more. So we're traveling and we're in Japan and we can take photos and put together a video, and that's what pays the bills, and we can enjoy like a lifestyle and show my son that you can make a living off creativity. It's not some dream thing that only happens to select people. So I'm just going to keep putting YouTube videos out and Substack and stay focused and stay the course. And I know that things will sort of keep popping up and keep happening if I do that.
I love this so much, and I love all of that for you. It sounds amazing. So where can people connect? Where can they get on your Substack? Where can they check out your two different channels? What are the difference between your two different channels on YouTube? And where do they connect with you?
So you can find me on Instagram, Lucy_Lumen, and feel free to send me a DM. I love a voice message because I'm always busy. So I know you know this, Fiona. Yes. So feel free to send me a voice message. Tell me what you thought of the conversation. And then on Substack, my Substack's called Love Lucy, but if you type in Lucy Lumen, it will come up, and it goes out every Friday. And then on YouTube, my main photography channel, which is the one I've been talking about that's been around for 4 years and I've put my blood, sweat and tears into, is called Lucy Lumen. And that is all about photography, film and digital. And, I share like photo walks and some opinions on photography and camera reviews and stuff like that. And then I have started another YouTube channel recently that's already at 7,000 subscribers. And I'm so surprised at how quickly
that is going really quickly.
Rowan, which
was 4,000 not that long ago.
Yeah. It's testament to how good YouTube is. If you know what you want to get on there and talk about, it's very good at finding that person. And that's called The Lucy Lumen Show, which, to be honest with you, I don't love, but I didn't know what to call it. And I hate that a name stops something from happening so long. And that is all about creativity. Just generally, if you're an artist or you're a creative person, there'll be something there that's like helpful for you. So definitely jump over there. And I think that's really it. I think that's enough content probably for then.
I love it. And thank you so much. And thank you also for all your encouragement over the years and for listening to the podcast, but also for coming on and sharing. And you share so much. There's so many people taking notes right now being like, oh my gosh, I'm going to rewind. What did she say here? So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Fiona. This is a huge milestone for me. I'm so, so happy to have been a guest. So thank you. And thank you for everything that you put out and all of your wisdom. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
How absolutely lovely and inspiring and real and oh so genuine is Lucy Lumen. Honestly, I got so much from our conversation when it actually happened, and then I listened back to this a couple of times, and honestly, I am so inspired. I feel like if you have been feeling a bit of lackluster in your business or your content, you are just now, hopefully, like me, feeling so inspired and excited to get going and express yourself through these different mediums. If you want to connect with Lucy, there are so many ways to do that. You can head on over to Lucy Lumen, that's LucyLumen.com. You can find her over on Instagram, Lucy_Lumen, and of course, YouTube and Substack. Love Lucy. And on YouTube, it is Lucy Lumen and The Lucy Lumen Show. We will connect to all of those in the show notes for this particular episode. I am going to highlight two things that really stood out to me amongst so many, honestly. This was one of my favorite conversations of all time. And how many people have I interviewed now? Well over 250, I think. And yeah, honestly, I just was talking so much in this conversation. And we had like a cutoff point because both of us, have lives and other things. But I could have kept going for hours. Lucy is just such a inspiring person, so real, so honest, and is always helping other people, particularly in small business themselves. So again, just go on over and support her. But as usual, I'm going to highlight two things that really stood out to me from our conversation. The first is just this idea of permission. I hear it all the time, and I've definitely gone through this myself, this sort of want to be asked and waiting for someone to ask you, waiting for permission to show up, or waiting for permission to get invited onto a podcast, or get invited to speak, or get invited somehow to pitch your book for a book publisher. And there are people that wait for permission, and then there are a whole bunch of people that are out there not waiting for permission, just putting themselves forward for things. If you want something, go out and make it happen. You know, you've just got to. What is that song from like Sister Act? I think it was like, if you wanna be somebody, or what, like you wanna do something, you gotta go out and make it happen. Ignore my singing. But honestly, that is so true. And I love that Lucy talked about that, you know, that she was thinking that you had to be asked to have an agent, or that you had to be asked to do this thing. And she's found that no, you also need to put yourself out there, and then things actually happen. I just cannot reiterate that enough. So that was the first thing. And the second thing that I loved that she talked about was that you don't have to stick with something because that may be the initial direction that you went down, or maybe that is what you got your tertiary education in, or that is what, I don't know, your parents thought that you should do. So you've done it for 20 years now and you're like, oh, can I really start again? I loved that so much. I think so often it can be even in business that you've like started a business and you're talking to this particular clientele or this particular customer, or maybe your store stocked this kind of stuff and everyone knows you for that. And so you think, oh, I can't really move in a new direction, but you absolutely can. It's what I'm always talking to people about. You have the agency. You can change things. Like, you get to decide how your business operates. You get to decide which content channels you turn up on. You get to decide how you put yourself out there. I was listening to something recently, I can't remember who it was being interviewed, and they said, and now I'm going to paraphrase, but they said something like, the greatest form of self-expression is to just be yourself and to have the courage to put out yourself on all these different platforms. And I think it's something we forget. We think, oh, when I'm XYZ, you know, when I've got this many speaking gigs under my belt, or when I've written a book, or when I've been asked onto 10 of the top podcasts, then I will do the thing, or then I'll be good enough, or then I can move and change direction. Instead of just going, if I want to move things, I can do it. It's up to me. My sister, when I was growing up, used to have this quote that was on her wall, and I always remember it. And it said, if it is to be, it is up to me. Now, I understand there's a whole lot of privilege and not everyone starts from the same starting point and everything else, but we all have the ability to think, what do I want and what small step can I take to make that happen? And I love that Lucy is just such an example of that. So that is it for today, the amazing Lucy Lumen. I just want to say another massive thank you to her for coming on. Go and check out Lucy's Substack, her multiple YouTube channels, and check her out on social media, where you can find her at Lucy_Lumen. Thank you so much, Lucy, and thank you for listening. See you next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the My Daily Business podcast. For a range of tools to help you grow and start your business, including coaching programs, courses, and templates, check out our shop at mydailybusiness.com/shop. And if you want to get in touch, you can do that via email, hello@mydailybusiness.com, or you can hit us up on Instagram @mydailybusiness_. You can find us on TikTok @mydailybusiness, or find me, Fiona Kalacki, on LinkedIn. I look forward to connecting.